Hi everyone, welcome to The Skinny, where we get down to the nitty-gritty of style, fashion, beauty, and living an empowered life. I'm your host, Shazan, a fashion and beauty expert in the industry for 20 plus years, a wife, mom of two, and I'm here to help you become your most beautiful and confident self from the inside out on a savvy budget. Don't let bullying beat you down. Turn it into empowerment for your inner strength and beauty. I have a quote that I love from Michael J. Fox. It says, "One's dignity may be assaulted, vandalized, and cruelly mocked, but it can never be taken away unless it's surrendered." I totally get this now post-bullying where while you're going through situations and when you realize that you're feeling crushed and your self-confidence is diminishing, it doesn't come to your attention unless someone tells you that it's a power that you hand over to someone who is either teasing you or bullying you. And so this is something that really, really stands out to me. And it's such a true thing that unless you hand it over, unless you hand that power over to the person who is tormenting you or teasing you or bullying you, then they can't have that power over you. So you have to be mindful of that. And you have to be in that state of mind where whatever that response is that they're looking for from you, you can't give them that satisfaction because that fuels them to continue going and going once they realize that they've gotten into you in this way. So growing up for me, and moving here, like I've said so many times before, I moved here from Jamaica and I moved here at an elementary school and I was 9 years old. And home for me, even though we transitioned here and, you know, times were, we started from nothing here in this country and times were really tense in terms of financially and, you know, getting off the ground and building a foundation for my family and I. But regardless of all that, home was happy. And it was a place where, you know, everything felt adventurous and we had a wonderful time with jokes and laughters and we didn't focus on what we didn't have. We focused on what we had. And so that became the happy space. And though it was slim pickings and really minimal in our space and environment, it had nothing to do with the joy that was inside. My school life, on the other hand, was not the happy place for me. Being from another country, having a different accent, and not realizing, honestly, that I looked different or sounded different until I got to school and started being teased. And the teasing, little things here and there, turned into something a lot more drastic, and it turned into bullying. So this was something that impacted me, I would say, horribly. I became sick at home sometimes, afraid to go to school. You know, school was a place where I was ridiculed, a place where I felt helpless. And it was that place where I lost grasp of my self-confidence. And it's also the place where I learned to feel ashamed of how I looked and feel ashamed of who I was. Now, being so young, and having never encountered anything like that before, you know, these were just different things that were coming at me. And this was something that was happening to me in an environment at a new school where I looked forward to the new experience and I also wanted to fit in. So I went in with a level of excitement, but then to meet up on these different things, then it was like, you know, it was like darts coming at me. And even though I continued to try and try, this was things where, you know, in my classroom where work is done, I would finish my work and I take it to the front of the class only to turn out, you know, that timing turned out to be the opportunity for everyone in the class to laugh and to make fun of the clothes I was wearing. and to make fun of the way I talked and all of these different things. And, you know, at first it was like, whoa, okay, well, that was a little mean. But then it became like a daily thing. And that definitely started to affect my self-confidence majorly, where I didn't want to get up and go into the front of the class anymore. I didn't want to turn my work in if I was done early. And I just started going into this shell. But that was something that I was then now handing over my confidence. I was handing over my, I was handing over power to, there was one girl in particular and the grouping that went along with her, because they realized that, hey, when we do this, she stays in her seat. When we do this, we can see the facial reactions, or we can see that she's becoming a shell of herself. So by seeing that, then there came the fulfillment that they were looking for, and it continued. And so there was this one girl in particular, and this same, the main girl, I remember her name, but I will not share it today. I probably won't ever share it, but her name, first and last, from such an early, early time in this country, sticks with me forever. Moving on. This particular girl, she ended up forcing me to go with her off school grounds. And she actually threatened to hurt me if I didn't go with her. And it's a situation where I was heading home and my sister would meet me partway when I was heading home. And she stopped me while I was, you know, going across the field to go home. And she asked me to go with her to the front of the school. And so at this point, I told her no. First of all, I was shocked that she was talking to me and no one else was around. And so she, you know, said, hey, come with me to the front of the school. And I told her, no, you know, I have to go home. And she, you know, wanted, hey, just come on, you know, that whole thing, like, oh, just come on, you know, it's not going to be long, blah, blah, blah. In that moment, I have to tell you that I wondered if maybe I went along with what she was saying, if she would then want to be my friend, or if she would then at least take the opportunity to see who I was, you know, or find out who I was. Because it's just from day one at the school, it just became like this teasing and this ridiculing. So I wondered in this moment, like, maybe if I do what she says, then she'll like me. Or maybe if I do what she says, then, you know, she'll stop teasing me, and then she'll have everyone else stop teasing me. And then I can actually just be, you know, instead of every morning when I'm leaving to come to school, I'm like a nervous wreck in anticipation of, what are they going to say today? What names am I going to be called today? And so I went along with her to the front of the school, but that's not what she wanted me to do. She actually wanted me to leave the school property with her. And when we got to the front of the school, she then insisted that I continue walking with her off the school grounds. And I told her, no, I need to go home. And I tried leaving and going back. And she grabbed my wrist and said, no, you're coming. And so I became, you know, fearful, because I realized that the tone of everything changed. And now it was a situation where I felt like I was losing any kind of power over saying yes or no. And I wasn't able to leave, because when she grabbed my wrist, she was very forceful. And I said, no, I'm not going anymore. And so she didn't let go. She started actually pulling. And so I walked with her in hopes that she would eventually, you know, loosen up on my arm or let go so I'd be able to run. And she did eventually let go. And I turned around to run away, and she grabbed my ponytail and yanked my head back and said, you're coming with me. And if you don't come with me, I'm going to cut this off. And so I had never experienced fear like that before in my entire life. And I was just like, oh my God, this is not good. This is a really bad situation. And, you know, jumping ahead, where I ended up going with her, I didn't know where I was. I had just newly moved to the country, so I wasn't very familiar with our area. And we walked for such a long time into like some shopping area. And she had me walking around. I was so scared. But then at the time, I needed to stick by her because I needed her to get me back to the school, or at least close enough to the school where I could get home or get away from her. And so we walked around the shopping area and then we left, which I started feeling like, okay, at least we're getting back to, you know, the direction where I know the school is in. And as we're walking, a car pulls up. She knows the people in there. I don't know if it's family or friends or whatever. She gets into the car and then they leave me there. And I had no idea where I was. And I was just like, oh my God, I'm thinking my mom and my sister are probably in a state of panic because I'm not home and time has gone. I mean, a good amount of time has gone. And so I was just so like, devastated at that point, but at the same time, I was so relieved that she was gone. I was like, oh my God, just to get away from her. But then the fear kicked in where it's like, how am I going to find my way home? And between the crying and the praying and trying to backtrack my steps, I eventually got back where I saw the school at the end of a block. And so I was finally able to make it home. And that was just a living hell. I saw her years later after school when I was driving home from college one day, actually, and she was at the bus stop. And I was so surprised at that point where there were so many emotions in me when I saw her, because she made my life a living hell and it broke me. I can say that it definitely broke me. It affected me physically. It affected me mentally. It affected how I saw myself. And that stuck with me for so many years that I mean, it took everything in me and the grace of God to not stop and not do all the other things that popped into my mind, which I will not share. Okay. So, but this is something that I know is so real and it's so horrible. And it's something that we have to regain power from. And I realized that not only is this a feeling that I should have, but it's something that I felt an urgency to do something about. And I remember when this happened, I was working in New York with models on a photo shoot for a magazine. And these young models came in and they were teenagers. So beautiful, but they had such low self-esteem. They thought they were fat. They thought they were ugly. They were starving themselves, literally. And some were actually taking things, you know, just completely picking themselves apart. And I remember looking at them and really listening. And in that moment, I started seeing myself and all those insecurities I lived with for so long in those moments. And where all the negative things that were told to me over time, these things take on a life of themselves. And I saw that these were the things that were happening with these same beautiful young girls that I worked with. And it becomes alive. It becomes so blinding and it gets so loud in your mind that you can't see or hear anything else. So as beautiful as they were so insecure. And I was looking at them that they're so stunning, but their heads were filled with complete negativity, complete insecurity, and no self-confidence. At that point, I felt that there was just this urgency to not only work with making people beautiful on the outside, which I love to do so much, but that's the outside. The inside is what's important. I remember how crushed and insufficient and helpless I felt as a little girl and a teenager from being teased and bullying. And as beautiful as you are on the outside, if you feel horrible on the inside, I mean, beauty hardly radiates unless you're confident on the inside. And it's something where the substance and the root of true beauty comes from the inside. And building that and giving people the tools to remember and know that is what is the priority for me. It goes hand in hand. I continuously met beautiful but insecure girls that believed that they weren't beautiful. And I knew I had to do something. And I recently launched, I'm so excited about it. I recently launched the Chicified Girl Initiative in Jamaica a couple of weeks ago. And this is to reach and empower as many girls and young ladies as possible. And it has to do with the stages. If you get to the girls that are really, really young, you give them the shield and the armor to fight these things. When you get to girls that are a little bit older, you have to approach it in a way for them to be able to kind of deal with the bruises that they may have gotten along the way to that age, and how to not develop lifetime scars. When you have women that are older or young ladies that are older, now you have to deal with the scars that they have and how to not focus, to teach them not to focus on these scars, but how to use this to empower themselves. So my whole thing is, don't let bullying beat you down or keep you down. Turn it into empowerment for your inner strength and your beauty. And here's a couple of tips on how to not let bullying beat you down and how to turn it around. Remember, anyone who is bullying you sees something in you that they wish they had for themselves. So they try to break you to make themselves feel better. You have to remind yourself of who you are on a daily basis, so that when you hear anything contrary, it doesn't get in. It takes up and take up residence and affect you and your self-confidence. So your reaction to the person who is bullying you will either empower them or deflate them. You have to ignore them and tune it out. It's something that takes time and effort, but you have to do that. And know that this won't last forever. So you have to protect yourself so it doesn't scar you, because the scars are the things that will stay with you forever. Bullying is a problem that affects millions of students, especially all races, all classes. And it's like 1 out of 4 kids are bullying, which is horrible. And even more horrible is suicide is now the alternative for so many of them, because they feel tormented and helpless and believe this is the only way for them to make it stop. And I think that is absolutely insane. So here it is. I'm so excited to introduce Ask Shazan. This is a part of the podcast where I will answer emails and your questions and letters. And today I have an email from Sandra, and she writes, "My daughter Jessica is 13 years old, a little overweight, and has been the victim of bullying for years. She cries all the time, scared to go to school, and has no self-worth. She literally throws screaming tantrums saying how ugly she is. How can I best help her, Sandra?" Well, Sandra, first of all, this is breaking my heart. I would have her plan a mommy-daughter day for you guys. And while you're together, I would say ask her to tell you some of the things that she's told and what are the names that she's called. And after she shares this with you, it most likely will not be easy for her. I'll let you know that up front. So you have to be patient, but don't give in. Don't let her not share with you. Let her know that what they're saying, first of all, are lies. And people bully others to make themselves feel better and also to distract others from looking at them and the things that they actually feel insecure about. They want to make themselves feel better, and to do so, they tear others down. But the big point to get across is that they continue to do it when they see that they've actually provoked a response and actually gotten to her. So please let her know that repeating to herself the mean things that they have told her isn't going to make it true, and that she is none of these things. Pour into her every single day that she's beautiful and wonderfully made. I don't know if you believe in God, but when we complain about our looks, I actually feel like we're telling God that he's screwed up. And God makes no mistakes. So we are exactly how we're meant to be. And any questions or comments on it, I tell my girls, my chicified girls, you send them to take that up with God. Talk to him about his supposed mistakes that they see in you. There's so many stats about bullying. some people feel that this is a normal rite of passage in growing up. And this is some of the things that I read and some of the stats that are out there from Stomp Out Bullying is one of the places that I saw. And it's not, this is not normal. And there is another thing is there's always conflicts between kids, but bullying is intentional cruelty, harassment, and emotional, physical, and sometimes so abusive, it becomes more than just a fight, but it goes beyond to other physical insecurities. This behavior can set the tone for a lifetime. It can affect the rest of someone's life, and the consequences to the victim can seriously destroy them. We have to start and continue at home to build our children and to build ourselves and to build others into making people aware that this is not good. This is just not good. You have to shut it down. We have to block it out. And we also need our kids to know that they better not be the ones that are bullying. Don't let bullying beat you down or keep you down. Turn it into empowerment for your inner strength and your inner beauty. You deserve to live and feel beautiful, confident, and empowered. You've been listening to The Skinny with me, Shazan. Thank you so much for listening. Stay tuned for next week's podcast. See you next time. Bye.